We read this last week. We want to go back into this in John, the 15th chapter, starting in verse number 4. Praise God. Now, if you got a red letter edition, Jesus is talking here. Amen. It says, "Abide in me, and I in you, and as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches, and he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." Now I want you to notice that phrase, or underline that in your Bible, highlight whatever you want to do there. But notice Jesus said, "For without me, you can do nothing." Amen. How many things can we do without Jesus?
Nothing.
Nothing. Verse 6. "If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them, cast them into the fire, and there they are burned." Say, "That's not me."
That's not me.
Okay. "If you abide in me," Jesus said in verse 7, "and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. And herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit." Well, we can see from the 8th verse right here that the Lord wants us to bear much fruit in our lives. Amen. And thank God it's no mystery. It's no secret. It's not something kept back in a corner where we can't figure out how to bear much fruit, because Jesus explains that in this verse right here. Amen. Now, what I want to kind of reiterate a little bit what we shared last week. If you would go to John chapter 5. If we're going to bear much fruit in our lives, I mean, I don't know about you, but I take my Christianity really serious. I really do. I've met people before, and I'm sure you have too, that you found out they're a Christian and there wasn't enough evidence to convict them. "Oh, you're a Christian. Could have fooled me." You know what I mean? And But I believe that the people that are here today, you want to take your Christianity serious. It's not just something on the back shelf of your life, so to speak. You want to take it seriously, because we live by this. Amen. There's going to come a day when we're going to meet our Master. Amen. And we should be able to look forward to that day. Hallelujah. But I want you to notice that Jesus said in verse 7, in verse 5, the tail end of verse 5, it says, that's John, you know, chapter 15, and verse 5, the latter part of that says, "For without me, you can do nothing." Now, that's what I want to focus on here this morning. Without me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. Now, Jesus had the same convictions about his life. Now, look at John 5 and verse 19. And let's just kind of build a foundation here. In verse 19 says, "Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for whatsoever things he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise." And that's King James language there. But, you know, Jesus is saying in essence right here, whatever I see the Father do, he says, that's what I'm going to do. All right. Now, if you go to John chapter 8, you're right there in the neighborhood. Go over to John chapter 8. I think I gave you the wrong scripture. The first scripture was John 15, 19. The second one is John 5, 30. I'm sorry. My mistake. Y'all forgive me now? Okay. John 5, 30 says, "I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. For my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which sent me." So here he says, what I hear the Father say, that's how I judge. Are you with me now? Mm-hmm. Now there's a big misunderstanding when it comes to, for example, judging things. Because most people know enough Scripture to be dangerous. But you see, you have to interpret Scripture in light of Scripture. You have to interpret Scripture in light of Scripture. And, you know, if someone's really messing up, you know, in their life, you know, people say, "Hey, don't judge. Don't judge." You know what I'm saying? And I've heard this for so many years until I began to study it out myself. When Jesus says, judge not lest you be judged, he said he was talking to the Pharisees that were doing worse things, and they're telling other people, don't do that. He said, take the log out of your own eye first.
Yeah. Amen.
And then you can go and help your brother.
That's good. Amen.
That's what he's talking about.
Right.
The scripture, there's a Bible scripture that says, he that is spiritual judges all things.
That's right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Now, there's a different, a better word, I guess, would be to use discern.
Yeah.
Discern.
Yeah.
And God wants you and I to be able to discern things.
Yeah.
The Bible talks about discerning the signs of the times and having an understanding. In other words, don't be clueless. That's what he's saying here.
Right.
And so when we're close to the Father, you can discern things. You know, Jesus was fellowshipping with his Father, and he could read their minds sometimes.
Mm.
In other words, he knew what they were thinking. We're not talking about witchcraft here. We're talking about the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Bible says in many places, Jesus knew their thoughts. All right. And so he would address their thoughts before they verbalized anything. And they'd be like, darn, how did he know that? You know, well, the Holy Spirit can show you things. Are you with me? And Jesus is saying right here that when I judge, my judgment is just. Praise God. I mean, we ought to know if we're in a bad atmosphere or not. I mean, you go into an atmosphere, you're with somebody or whatever, and you're like, I don't know. It just doesn't feel right in here. Well, I don't want to judge that. No, you need to judge
yes,
that.
Right.
Are you with me?
Amen.
You need to discern that, and the Holy Ghost says, get out of there.
Yeah,
amen.
Right.
There are people on 9/11, for example,
mm-hmm.
that there was one guy, I heard this testimony. He heard the Holy Ghost say, run as fast as you can. Before the building came down. He's like, okay. He just took off running.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Well, thank God he's several blocks away. And here comes the two buildings starting to come down.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And you know, as high as they are, they can fall a long way. You know what I'm saying? A lot of debris and stuff like that. Dangerous. But the Spirit of God would warn people like that. And there were so many testimonies I heard when I was in Brother Copeland's meetings that were partners and so forth that came back after that. And they're like, I was supposed to go to work and I felt like I needed to take a half a day and things like that. And just constant things like that happened like that. It was not spectacular, but it was supernatural.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And so there are times that we need to listen to our spirits and discern the atmosphere, or you're with somebody, or something's going to happen, you know, that you need to discern that. No, don't try to figure that out mentally a lot of times. That's where we get into trouble, is we try to mentally figure out, all right, then why does God want me to leave here? Why does he want me to do this or whatever? Why does he want me to wait 10 minutes before I leave the house in my car? Why? Well, you remember the cartoon Curious George? Anybody? I used to read those books to our kids, you know. Curious George was that monkey. You remember that? And he was always getting in trouble. There's a saying, curiosity killed the cat. Okay? How many got cats in here? Okay, all right. They're still there, right? But, you know, cats are very... We have one. We've had him for what? 35 years now? Feels like it. Oh, that cat is so curious. He's always wanting to know everything that's going on. I mean... Every little nook and cranny in the houses we've lived in, we've had three different places we've lived in since we've had this cat, you know. But he's always searching and discovering and looking for any little passageway or whatever. You know what I'm saying? He's just got to find out, you know. And sometimes we'll start scratching something downstairs. We thought, we have to rebuke a devil or something or what? No, it's just the cat downstairs, you know, clawing something, you know what I mean? But anyway, where was I going with that? But your mind is like Curious George. And your mind wants to find out things all the time. Lord, why do you want me? Listen, sometimes we just don't need to ask why. We just need to be obedient to do what the Spirit of God wants us to do in that given moment. Are you with me?
Yeah.
But John chapter 8, look there, John 8, 28. We saw these last week. And these scriptures, these three in particular, show Jesus' dependency upon the Father. Can we be just as dependent upon the Father? Yes. All right, 28 says, Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am He and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. Oh, that's my prayer when I get up. When I'm talking, whether it's one-on-one or talking with a group like yourself here this morning, you know, your time is important, okay? We appreciate your time. God appreciates your time. But, you know, you've come for a purpose. You've come here to learn. You've come here to grow. And you want to hear from heaven. Amen? There's a million and one things that we could preach on. And you could select any number of things and preach on. But, you know, I believe that God has a word in due season for us right now. And that's what my prayer is. That's what my heart is. Lord, I want to speak a word in due season. I want to have the right word for the right moment to help people. The ministry is about one thing. It's about helping people. That's what it's about. Now, some people choose to receive that help. Others choose not to receive that help. That's not our part. That's, you know, we have our part. People have their part. Amen. God always does His part. Amen. But how many of you want to learn and you want to grow? Hallelujah. Now, Jesus said, I can do nothing of myself, but what I see my Father, what He's taught me, those are the things that I'm going to speak. All right. Now, we brought out last week in this particular, these scriptures right here, that people sometimes make the excuse and they'll say things like this. Well, of course, that's Jesus. You know, what He saw the Father do, that's what He did. What He heard the Father say, that's what He said. And people just say, well, that's Jesus. And they put Him in a class by Himself as if we can't do that. However, I want to say this. Jesus wasn't teaching us something that was exclusive to Him. He never said after He did these things, now listen, don't try this at home. You know, like those commercials? You know? He was teaching us how that we, you and I, are to operate as a person, as a man, as a human being in this earth, dependent upon the Father. You know, someone said, it seems that Jesus went from one place of prayer to the next place of prayer and did miracles between. Amen. You know, I really believe with all of my heart, why did Jesus pray? Was it just a religious duty? Was it just the thing to do? Well, He's a man of prayer, you know? No, the purpose of prayer is communication. Praise God. Amen. The purpose is to communicate. Hallelujah. And in communication, it's not a monologue, it's a dialogue. In other words, you talk, He talks. He talks, you talk. In other words, you go back and forth. Most people like to talk, amen, and that's okay. That's cool if it's on the right thing, right? But I'll tell you, you're never going to get in a conversation with God, it's going to turn into gossip. God has to repent or something like that. That's never going to happen. Are you with me? But Jesus was showing you and I how that we are to operate. Now, the name of this series is called Abiding in Jesus, how to abide in Him so that we can flow with Him in these last days. There's a scripture in the book of Revelation that says, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Hallelujah. See, God is always talking to us. We just have to have ears to hear what He's saying to us. Praise God. Have you ever had the Lord whisper inside your heart and He says something like this, I just want you to know that I love you. Raise your hand. Now sometimes, I remember back in the day that I had a hard time receiving that. Like, really? Because I wasn't fully convinced that the Lord loved me unconditionally. But I am personally fully persuaded that Jesus, the head of the church, loves me unconditionally, faults and all. I mean, all of us have faults and failures, but God still loves us unconditionally. Now, that's not an excuse to continue wrongdoing, but it's a reality of the fact that Jesus loves us through it all. And He brings us and draws us to Him. So Jesus was teaching you and I about how to become dependent upon Him. Now, it's interesting because the Bible talks about, in Corinthians, for example, Paul talked about the church at Corinth was, he said, you are carnal. There's among you envying and strife and divisions. Now, the word carnal is where we get our English word meat. Okay? Carnivorous. Carnal just means flesh ruled. And Paul said to the church at Corinth, he goes, you're a bunch of meatheads. That's what. Meat, flesh. He says, you're carnal. He says, why? He says, there is among you envying, jealousy, strife, divisions. What is that? That's a sign of carnality. And he was trying to get, he wasn't condemning them, he was trying to get them to grow out of that babyhood stage of Christianity. Okay? Are you with me?
Amen.
And, but see, when we're flesh ruled as believers, that means we're led by our emotions. We're led by what other people say. We're led by feelings. Right? And if we're led by emotions or the five senses, then probably we're going to miss God at some point. Are you with me? I mean, let's just face the facts. There's times that you pray, you don't feel anything. There's no goosebumps. No special feeling. Now, thank God when it's there, you know, but listen, you don't have to have some special ooey-gooey feeling in order for God to hear you when you pray. The Bible says that His eyes are upon the righteous and His ears are open into our prayers. Say, that means me. See, you're righteous because of the blood of Jesus. Righteousness is not something that you're trying to attain to or earn or work or, you know, get a degree. I made it. I'm righteous now. No, when you were born again, when you became a child of God, the Bible says you became the very righteousness of God in Christ. That means full acceptance. Now, you cannot get any more righteous than you are right now. Put that in your sack and take it home. Amen. You cannot get any more righteous than you are. If you're a child of God, if you're born again, how many children of God we have here. You cannot get any more righteous than you are right now. What's righteous? Right standing with God. If you were any less righteous than Jesus, you wouldn't go to heaven. Amen? The Bible says, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. So you were made righteous when you became a child of God. You didn't work for it. You received it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So that, and then you couple that with that scripture. It says in James that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's not just talking about those Bible guys that you read about, you know, all the prophets and the apostles and all those guys, you know. That's talking about you, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. You could put your name in there, availeth much. That means when you pray, God hears you when you pray, whether you feel like it or not. But see, a carnal-minded believer will only base their prayer based upon how they feel at the present moment. And that's why so many people get discouraged. That's why a lot of believers get discouraged in the realm of prayer, is because they don't see anything. They don't feel anything. Therefore, they feel like God's not really hearing them. Okay? Praise God. And let me tell you something. Even if you make a mistake, you're still righteous. You don't have to get born again all over again. All right? Praise God. Are you with me? Jesus was telling us how that we can operate in this earth, showing us that we can have the same mindset that what we see the Father do, we'll do. What we hear Him say, we'll do. Amen. Now, how do we do that? We do that by prayer and communication with Him and talking with the Lord. In practical terms, how do we do that? Seriously, how do we do that? You know, do we have to say a bunch of Elizabethan English, thou and thou knowest, Lord? Well, we don't talk like that. Aren't you glad? I used to be around people years ago that would pray like that. And they'd talk just like, you know, that's Joe down the street, you know what I'm saying? He talked just like that. But when they started praying, it was like all these these and thous. And I remember I was in a Pentecostal holiness church one time. and it was the most King James place I ever saw in my life, you know? And people praying like that, you know, but it was like a religious facade. It wasn't the real deal. So I do encourage you, when you do pray, you talk to him just like a friend, because he is your friend. And the Lord is eager to speak to you. He's eager to talk to you. This is not a word of knowledge. This is just pure facts. Some of you came in here today and you got some serious needs in your life. Okay? I didn't have a word of knowledge. That's just the facts. Okay? God has an answer for you for that. You know, he's got a wisdom key for you right now.
Amen.
Right now.
That's right.
And that wisdom key is your key to deliverance to get you out of that situation.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so that means that you don't have to sit back and say, I wonder what I'm supposed to do. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Well, first of all, quit saying that. And start saying, I have the mind of Christ. Say that. I have the mind of Christ. And you say that even if you don't feel like or know the answer to your problem that you have right now. You say that first. And what happens is it prepares the way. It prepares the way so that the Spirit of God can come in and say, okay, here's what you need to do. Hallelujah. And that wisdom can come in a form of a thought. It can come in the form of somebody else preaching, where there's like, oh, that's it right now. Amen. And there's various ways. Somebody could be talking to you, you know, and all of a sudden something comes up and they don't even know that they did it. They said something and it's like, ah, oh, that's my key right there. That's what I need to do. Scripture tells us that if any of us lack wisdom, that we're to ask God. Not Dr. Phil. Ask God. If any of you lack wisdom, I don't know about you, but I've been there a lot of times. I need some wisdom, Lord. Well, the Bible says, ask the Lord for wisdom, and he will give it to you. Praise God. This happened about 20 years ago. And it just goes to show you how intimate the Lord is acquainted with us and how he cares about every area of your life. Sometimes we have the impression that God is only concerned about those big areas of your life, you know. Like who you marry, what school you go to. Now, those are important decisions. And surely you need to get God in on that too. Amen. But most people make their plans and then they ask God to bless it. But God can't finish something he hasn't authored. Are you with me? So it's just better to get his mind first and then proceed forward. All right. But years ago, I had this particular olive colored suit. It was given to me. It was a very expensive, nice suit. And thank God I was thin enough to wear it. Now you got to really work it. Got to get those pounds off, bless the Lord. You know what I'm saying? I tried to gain weight when I was a teenager. I tried and I could not gain anything. But when I turned 30 years old, let's talk about that some other day. Amen. Let's just say we have to really sweat at it now. Amen. Really work at it. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. My son laughs at me. He said, he can eat anything he wants. I said, you wait till you turn 30 years old. If Jesus tarries, I said, you packing those calories down there, your weightlifting and all that stuff, you know, it's going to go from your chest to here. And then you got to get some wisdom here. Amen. Where was I anyway here? Anyway, I had this double-breasted suit that this guest speaker had sewed to me three or four different beautiful, I mean, really expensive, nice suits. I was believing God for some suits. And this guy came and gave them to me. I was like, glory to God. This is awesome, you know. Didn't pay a dime for them. This is about 20 years ago. Well, you know, this particular suit, you could only wear a certain color sock with this suit. You know where I'm going with this? All right. And, well, somehow, some way, in the process, you know, that I lost one of them. I think it was Lynn's fault, but I don't want to, you know. And so, you know, you obviously, if you're going to wear the suit, it's got to be the right color sock, and you got to have two of those things. Are you with me? And I'm looking all over the place. I'm looking here and there and looking behind this, and I'm just getting frustrated. And finally, Lynn goes, well, did you pray about it? I don't know about you, but it made me mad when she said that. Has that ever happened to you before?
Yeah.
Did you pray about it? No. Got a little grouchy over it, you know what I mean? But I knew she was right, you know. There's times, sometimes your spouse will tell you something that makes you mad at first, but you know what? They're usually right. Amen. And I said, no. And, well, I kind of walked away from it, you know, and it kept staying with me. Did you pray about it? Did you pray about it? So I was upstairs on the second floor of our house. I remember the exact room. And I said, all right, Lord. Here I've been the last couple of days. I've been frustrated trying to find this one sock, you know. Now, someone says, couldn't you have gone out and bought another pair? Sure, I could have done that, but why should I? You know? Now, this... Are you with me? So I said this. I said, now, Father, I'm asking you right now, give me wisdom. Lord, you know where everything is. And I said, show me where this sock is. No sooner I got the words out of my mouth. I'm not kidding you. I had not a vision. It was just a thought. Sugar plums dancing in your heads now. What the heck's a sugar plum anyway? I don't know. But I had this in my mind. I could see, I envisioned this. There's a big chest there in the one bedroom that had, you know, where we kept our stuff. And something told me to look behind it, where there's mirrors and you look behind where the wall is. And so I just had this thought. It wasn't, I'd had no goosebump, no special feeling. So I just went, I'm talking within seconds. I just prayed this prayer. Now, I've been looking for 2 days. You with me? And I go over and I look behind there. And lo and behold, that thing fell behind. It was stuck between the wall and the chest of drawers there, you know. And it didn't fall all the way down. It was right there. I just reached back and pulled it out. And it was like, you know, you could have prayed this 2 days ago and you want to find out. But here's what dawned upon me was this. God didn't show me till I asked him. He could have. He could have buttoned in there and say, hey, Keith, by the way, it's, you know. But I noticed that he doesn't usually answer me until I first ask him. Doesn't the Bible says, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you. What's our job? Knock, seek, ask. What's God's job? Give it to us. And James says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask God, the generous God, who gives to all men liberally. Praise God. But let him ask in faith, not wavering. In other words, you ask and you believe you receive when you pray for that wisdom. Oh, there's a key for, I'm telling you, there's a wisdom key for every problem that you face. Look, the only reason that you and I yield to depression in our lives is because we're not operating in God's wisdom. Tell me how I know. Okay? The only reason that we get discouraged, downtrodden, and depressed is because we're not tapping into God's wisdom with the situations that are trying to depress us. Are you with me? But this is the answer to come out of that thing and to have some excitement and joy in life. Some people have been raised under such a cloud that when they have any normalcy, they think that's abnormal. You know, if you've been raised in an atmosphere, there's constant strife and division all the time and all kind of stuff. You know, when you have one normal day, you think, all right, when's the hammer coming down here? No, God wants you to have days of refreshing on this earth. And so as we begin to tap into God's wisdom about things and how to do things, I'm telling you, things can happen that much quicker. But, you know, I shared that little story right there. You know, you might think, a doggone sock, are you kidding me? But listen, God is interested in even minute details of your life. He really is. Like I said, that was 20 years ago. And there's been other occasions where, you know, the keys were lost. Lynn lost the keys in the house. Just kidding. And, you know, the car keys and, you know, and here we go again. Lord, where's the keys? Lynn, where's the keys? Pray about it. You know, ask the cat or something, you know. But that there's the same process. All right, Father, in the name of Jesus, I need keys right now for this vehicle. Show me where they're at right now. The same thing happens, okay? You know, here's what we have to understand about God. There's nothing hidden from Him. The Bible says in Hebrews, there's nothing kept secret from Him. All things are open and exposed to the Heavenly Father. He sees everything at once. He knows where everything is. He knows where every lost thing, article is. He knows where everything is. I had when I was a youth pastor for a season, and then an assistant pastor in Killeen, Texas. There was a guy that came in there that became the youth pastor. And real, make a long story real short. Before he went into the ministry, he was working in a big old factory in Houston, Texas. And I never forget him sharing this. He said there he was working in this huge factory, you know, and one of the machines had broken down, and they couldn't figure out how to fix it. Now, he's the low man on the totem pole, all right? Bottom. Just an assembly line guy, you know what I mean? And you got these big wigs all around you and everything, and they were just frustrated, you know, because when the machines broke down, they couldn't produce anything. They couldn't get anything done. And so he prayed about it. He said, "No, Lord," you know, and he's new at this place, you know, in a big, huge company. He said, "Lord, you know how these machines work, so show me in Jesus' name. Give me wisdom." Lo and behold, the Lord gave him wisdom and showed him, here's where the problem is. So he went to one of the guys above him, you know, and he shared that with him. And he said, you know, kind of that look on his face like, are you kidding me? You know? And so they tried a little bit more. And then, so they went and they found, they did what he said. They just, what the heck? We tried this. Let's try this. They went and they troubleshoot it and find it was the exact solution that God had given to that young man. Praise God. And so the people there saw the wisdom of God that day in that plant that he was working in that day. Well, there is wisdom. The Bible says that sound wisdom is laid up for the righteous. Proverbs says that. Sound wisdom is laid up, not from the righteous, for the righteous. See, God doesn't just dangle the carrot out there and say, "Ah, I got all kind of wisdom for you here, but just try and get it," and he walks away. Are you with me? No, God has wisdom for you, and he wants to give it to you. Amen. You know, God knows how to reach people's hearts that you've had a hard time reaching. Maybe you've tried everything you know how to do, and that's the key. You've tried. But let me tell you something. Heaven knows how to reach people. God knows exactly what that person or that woman or that man needs to hear in order to reach their heart. Because remember, ministry is about what? People. It's all about meeting needs of people. Whether you have 50 people, 100 people, 500 people, 5,000 people, it's always about meeting needs of people. That's the whole mission of Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. Does this excite you or what? It's about people, meeting needs of people. Oh, brother, I've got needs in my life. Oh, we all do. But let me tell you something. When you focus on the needs of other people and helping them and ministering to them, it won't be long, brother or sister, before God meets your need. Because if I become centered, self-centered, and focused on myself and selfish about me and my needs, you know, then I'm just focused on me. But if I focus myself on other people's needs and try to bless them and minister to them, guess what? God will see to it that he will give you exactly what you need. Hallelujah. One of the greatest prayers that the Lord showed me years ago, you know, and I pray it practically every single day when I think of it. You know, and I say, "Father, make me a blessing today. Make me a blessing to someone out there." Amen. Do I have needs in my life? Sure, like everybody does. You know, but if I focus on Jesus and I focus on God and then focus on other people, it'll strip me of selfishness. Amen. I don't care about my needs, but I care about your needs. Amen. Because when other people become your focus and you're trying to focus on them, it won't be long before you're just walking in health, you're walking in provision, you're walking in prosperity, you're walking in divine protection. Because it's the law of the Spirit. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. Hallelujah. Oh, and it's just such a blessing to wake up every day. You know? And just count your blessings. Don't count your losses, count your blessings. Amen? Yeah, Brother Tom was up here singing. I was looking out this door. There's a chipmunk sitting there eating a nut right there on the edge of that step right there. And I was like, "Lord, thank you for that chipmunk right there." I'm glad he's out there and not in here. But God provided food for that little chipmunk. You think he's going to provide food for us today? You better believe it. Amen? Our dependency must be on the Lord in order to produce lasting fruit. Focus. Say focus. That's why it's so important. What we look at will literally affect the condition of our hearts. Okay? If we focus all of our attention on the news media, and boy, there's news all the time now. I mean, it's just around the clock, constantly coming at us all the time. When I was growing up, it wasn't so much like that. You know, the 6 o'clock news, 11 o'clock news, you know, and that was basically about it. But now you got 24/7. Constant news coming at you. Most likely it's going to be bad news. Bad news. Well, folks, that has a way of captivating your attention. There's something about the human psyche that wants to hear those things and see those things. But it's not always the best thing. And sometimes we just have to turn the knob and say, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to focus on that. Because what we hear and what we focus on will affect the condition of our heart. John Osteen said years ago, Joel Osteen's father, you know, who started the church, had several thousand people in his church. He stood up one day, and I remember hearing this. He goes, you know, there's about several hundreds of you here that have been through one crisis after another. And he says, I never went through one of them. They're like, well, what do you mean? He goes, because you're what, too busy watching CNN and CSNBC and all these other stations here, and they're telling you how bad it is and what's going to happen, you know, and you, you know, it starts affecting your heart, you know, because what you hear will affect the condition of your heart. In fact, I don't care how bad it gets out there, your faith can change it. Amen. Your faith can change it. So we're not just like, all right, devil, just have at it. Just slap me around. No, we can change the situation, whatever it is. We don't have to succumb to the circumstances. I like what Brother Tom was saying about that situation. He went to the doc, you know. Well, thank God he didn't take that as his final word. Amen? God's word was final authority. So how do we abide in Jesus? In John 15:7, again, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you're going to ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Amen? So how do you do that? Number one, abide in Jesus. How do you do that? Get born again. Receive Jesus. Make him the Lord of your life. You're abiding in Christ. All right? Number two, he says, let my words abide in you. So in other words, we're born again. That's the first qualification. But number two is this, get God's word, put it inside your heart, and live by that. Now this is where we're going to talk about a little more deeper here. If you would go over to James chapter 1. Gosh, where's the time go? My goodness. All right. I've noticed this in my own life because I know me better than anybody else that the more dependent I am upon the Lord, the more peace I have. I've noticed that. When we're looking to people to meet our needs, we will come up short every time. You know, I love my wife with all of my heart. In fact, this Wednesday is going to be our 31st anniversary. You know, 31 years, praise God. Just went like that, you know. But I'm careful to not look to her for everything because she's not God. I'm not God. Because if you look to your spouse to meet every need in your life, it ain't going to happen. You're going to come up short somehow. Okay? I'm not trying to inflate people's opinion of what marriage is. But the fact is, nobody's God. We got one God, and we have to follow him. It's only when she and me follow after Jesus that makes things really gel together. Okay? Now, in James chapter 1, verse 22, it says this. James, of course, being the half-brother of Jesus, said, but be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. See, this we call this self-deception. Verse 23 says, "For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding himself in the natural, his face in the glass. He beholdeth himself and goeth his way straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of this work, this man shall be blessed in all his deeds." Now let me read the message, if you could bring that up there, of this same, there it is, praise God. MSG, except this won't hurt you. So we're not at a Chinese restaurant this morning, all right? But notice James 1:22 says, "Don't fool yourself into thinking that you are a listener when you are anything but letting the word go into one ear and out the other. Act on what you hear. Those who don't act are like those who glance in the mirror, walk away. 2 minutes later, they have no idea what they are or what they look like." Isn't that interesting? I like that translation there, because we have to, I'm definitely not going to finish this today, but this ties into the area of obedience and doing what God wants us to do. Let's go to one more scripture here in Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 19. Now remember this, in James it says that we're not just to be hearers of the word of God, but we're to be what? Doers of the word. Because it's the doers of the word, or those that act upon the word, that are blessed in all their deeds. Hallelujah. There's a lot of hearers of the word in the body of Christ, but how many doers do we have? Amen? And that's something that we all, of course, have to ask ourselves, not knocking ourselves over the head with condemnation, but to say, you know, Brother Keith, are you doing this? You hear it, but you have to be a doer of it as well. Because it's the doers of the word that are blessed. Amen? I'm glad we can share these things in church on Sunday morning. Amen? Hallelujah. You might not be hooping and hollering, jumping around, so forth, but I'll tell you what, this is how you get blessed. Amen? By not only hearing the word, but by doing the word. But in Isaiah 1:19, the Lord said this, "If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land." Wow, that is really powerful, isn't it? If you're willing and obedient, you're going to eat the good of the land. That means you're going to have God's best in this earth, right? Praise God. Now, willingness has to do with attitude, if you're willing, right? Now, it's kind of like, you know, you've probably seen this, you know, or maybe you were a part of it, I don't know, but growing up, you know, and say you're in, let's picture yourself, you're in a classroom many years ago, you're just a little child, and this is back before they had all the different laws where they could still spank. How many of you got spankings in grade school? Anybody here? Oh, I did. We used to call them lickings, man. Now, that kind of dates us. Can't do that now. I remember I was goofing around one time in science class, and man, they took me behind closed doors, and they let it rip. Bless God. You know? I'm just glad I had a thin telephone book in my backside, so no, I'm just kidding. But it knocked some sense into me. Amen? I'm glad my parents disciplined me. They didn't abuse me, but they disciplined me, and because I needed it. I needed it. Amen? It kept me straight. But, you know, it's kind of like you're in this classroom and someone's acting up, and the teacher goes, "All right, little Johnny, now you go into the corner and you sit down in the corner right now." And so he goes over there and he sits down in there, and so he yells out and he says, "I might be sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside." Now, there's a classic example of someone that's obedient, but they're not willing. In other words, they're sitting down, but inside, they're standing up. Okay? All right? But Jesus, God says right here in Isaiah 1, he said, if you're willing and obedient, you're going to eat the good of the land. What does that mean? In simple terms, you're going to have the best if we're willing and obedient. So that's another way of saying we're going to be doers, not just hearers of the word. Do you know, I'll tell you this, you can save yourself a whole lot of time and a whole lot of heartache if you just decide, instead of being a hearer of the word, you want to be a doer of the Word. Now, I'm not against counseling. I think there's definitely a place for it. There's no question about it. You know, there's definitely a place for godly counsel. But it really, when you stop and think about it, the counsel that we get comes from the Bible. Right? It comes from the Bible, the counsel that we receive. But that counsel, when it's not acted upon, doesn't receive results. You know, in 30 years of, you know, being an assistant pastor and a pastor for most of those years, through the years, you know, way back, I remember counseling some people, and we would have a second time we'd get together, you know, and the first thing I would find out in the course of the conversation, I'd say, all right, I gave you some information. How's that going? You know what I mean? Like when people came to me, I would say, all right, now here's what I feel that is wisdom. Here's what you can act upon here to help you with this current situation. Are you with me? And so sometimes people would beat around the bush and they would never get around to that. And I'd get right back again. I'd say, pull the reins. I'd say, all right, did you do what I shared with you? You have to say it in a nice way. You know? No. Okay. Let's go back to the drawing board. All right, let's go back and let's back up here. All right. So you have to go back and, all right, I'm trying to help you here. Do what the Word of God says in this area. Not just what I say, but what the Word of God says. And so if that man or woman or couple, whatever, if they don't do that first step, God can't bring them to the next place. Are you with me? God cannot bring them to the next level. Why? Because they didn't practice or do what was initially told. You know, if I'm talking to someone and God says, I want you to tell them to read the Word of God for 15 minutes a day and pray in tongues for a half an hour, and they'll get their answer. And then after a week, I meet with that person. Oh, Pastor, it's just still through the muck and the mire and all this kind of stuff. Well, let me ask you this. Have you read the Word? And have you prayed in the Holy Ghost? No, I just got too busy. All right, there's the problem right there. That's the problem right there. And so sometimes people say, well, I feel a leading from the Lord to go to the next church. It's like one pastor, he got so tired of people saying, I felt led, that he got one of those fishing sinkers, you know? Big sinkers, you know? And every time somebody, I feel led, he'd pull it out and say, here, feel it right there. What? Being sarcastic, you know? A lot of times people, and I'm not saying this is anybody here. You understand what I'm saying? I'm just saying across the board that sometimes people want help, but they want it on their terms. On their terms. But that's not what's going to get the answer. The answer is in the Word of God. And if we're just hearers of the Word and not doers, then we can't receive the benefits thereof. Right? And so, but I've seen people take it, act on it, and then a week or two later, like, I got the victory. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I thought that was my phone for a minute here. Same kind of ring. Is that an iPhone? Yeah, that's why. Okay. Yeah, that's a smartphone. I used to have a dumb one, but now I got a smart one. You know? Where was I? But anyway, but when we just keep things simple, try not over-spiritualize things. That's one of the biggest things I see sometimes. People try to get over-spiritual about things when it's just a matter of doing what the Word says. We don't have to get all hyper-spiritual. Just do the Word of God. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Bible says walk in love, you walk in love.
That's right. Amen.
Right? Amen. Bible says give, you give. Right? Right? Yeah. Bible says whatever, you just do it.
Yeah.
Be a willing and obedient, and we shall eat the good of the land. So if we see something in the Word, in closing today, when you see something in the Word of God and you begin to act on that, that you're letting the Word of Christ abide in you. There's always God's Word about any given subject in life. When my body's hurting, what does God say about that? Amen? when my emotions are just running rampant, what does the Word of God say about that? Amen? And if, you know, you lost your peace over something, ask the Lord to show you and back you upstream and go back to where, what did you hear?
Yeah, that's it.
Who were you talking to
with
that lost your peace?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Are you with me? Mm-hmm. And God can root that thing out so that you can get your peace back. Amen? Thank you, Lord Jesus.